Kia ora and welcome to Andrew Holden.
Good morning.
Journalist for more than 30 years, including 5 as editor of The Press in Christchurch, 4 as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne. Now, we're learning some more things about Discovery and its business plan. Of course, the new owners of TV3. What more have we learned in the last wee while?
So we've been curious for a while as to what Discovery would do. And congratulations and thanks to Mark Jennings at Newsroom for getting the interview with Glenn Kine, the general manager Australia and New Zealand for Discovery, a really interesting piece that you can find online on the Newsroom website. In essence, what Kine is saying to us is it's all about streaming. That's going to be the real focus. It's perhaps no great surprise that that would be the case, but articulating it very strongly that the streaming service Discovery Plus is where the main game's going to be. And this is part of what we're seeing right around the world in terms of that's where people are going to get their information when they want. So your Netflix, your Amazon Prime and your Disney Plus are your big monsters. And recently WarnerMedia and Discovery merged to create a company worth around $210 billion, a little small particular creature. And so the key focus here is the streaming side of it, where I can subscribe and go online and watch it whenever I want to. So what Kine's telling us is that they're going to launch in Australia first. It's a mature subscription market over there, so they'll do that roughly October with New Zealand to follow really quickly. So yes, they'll have TV3, they'll have a broadcast thing, but almost you get the sense that that's the window, if you like, to capture you, and then what the big play is will be the streaming side of it. What's really nice to see in terms of his commentary is a focus on local programming, knowing that they've got around 35% of their total is local and they want to lift that to 40. So they're going to spend some more money on local programs, which is great news, let's face it, for everybody in that ecosystem of creating programs and actors and writers and all of the rest of it. So it's good news in that respect that we'll see a greater investment in stories from New Zealand.
What will viewers actually notice? We'll get some name changes at some point, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, essentially, he's saying they're going to drop the existing one. 3Now will disappear, so you'll be pushed across into Discovery Plus, and that's where you'll find the things that you're starting to see on New Zealand television, but a lot more into that. So that will be the key driver across. I mean, the interesting implications will be for TVNZ, obviously, because we know they've been investing for quite a number of years in streaming.
Their on-demand service is going really well. To be blunt, if you were comparing the two, there's
absolutely
not really a comparison.
No, that's right. Yeah. So, but even they've admitted recently that they probably need to spend around $10 million a year for the next 3 years to get to a stage where, you know, it's a really strong service. The question now will be, have they got that 3 years? Because you've got this giant coming in saying we're going to push everybody into streaming, and TVNZ on its own, how will they shape up in that particular competition?
Well, it does have a body of content. And especially if you're talking New Zealand content, and this is where you go to find your New Zealand television content in many ways. I do anyway, because you've just got all that sort of history there. Once it's been broadcast, or even it hasn't been broadcast, it's there and available.
Yep.
So they've got a stock, if you like, that gives them a little bit of a head start. One of the things I find interesting, and this might be where the game ramps up, is what they call the searchability. How do you find stuff? And how do you push stuff out? And how do you use your algorithms, much as I loathe them? Sometimes they're helpful. Like when they come to understand what it is that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So that kind of slight elevation and sophistication might be pushed along.
That's true. I mean, I think you're right. The TVNZ's got that first mover, if you like, that library of material that will draw you into it. It'll be interesting to see how quickly Discovery can crank up that local programming and then pitch that to try and say, well, you know, is it time to move across? So you might say that TVNZ perhaps have got a 6-12 month window where they'll still be the leader, but then Discovery will start to pitch a lot more, and at that point you get into
the real issue. What is that local content? I mean, are we talking cops and you know, custom officers, or are we talking drama and comedy and all the stuff that, you know, I envy whenever I watch Great Australian stuff?
Yeah, true. That remains to be seen where it will go. But, you know, you can clearly see that that's the ground where it's going to be battling. So coming into that is another really interesting piece on the spin-off by Hal Crawford, as a former MediaWorks head of news, as was Mark Jennings himself. So the gentlemen are finding, you know, new lives after their roles there at TV3. And what he looks at in a piece that he's written is, yes, it's all about streaming. You've got the giants now. now are going to dominate the world. So where does that leave New Zealand, and in particular TVNZ? They're the de facto local boss. But his argument is, I don't think that's enough. We should go bigger than that. And of course, he deliberately brings in the proposed TVNZ-RNZ merger. And what he's saying is that this sense of worrying about a broadcasting company, whether it's a merged TV radio, isn't really thinking big enough. You should forget that that's part of it. What he's suggesting is that the big play should be Platform New Zealand, as he calls it, which is a home for all Kiwi content, and exactly what you're talking about. And for him, it should be, yes, TVNZ on demand, but it should include all government-owned and funded content, which gets into an interesting question, because if Discovery or TV3 are taking New Zealand on-air money to help make this local content, you would argue that Hal's saying, well, there should be, if you like, a licence that says Platform New Zealand gets to show it as well. So we can kind of see where the battle's going. It's going to be that kind of content, but the game's going to be fought online, if you like, through streaming, and therefore where is New Zealand's broad?
Reverse his argument, and the companies will say, if we're putting our money into it, of course it's going to be on our platform, otherwise why would we bother? What I found interesting also today, just on the newsroom, it popped up on Newsroom again, as we learned a bit more probably from that earlier interview, is did the government miss a trick in fast-tracking Discovery's purchase here, which is understandable because the network was about to go bust? Did it miss a trick in not building in some kind of journalistic requirement as part of the deal, you know, writing in a requirement to provide X amount of news?
Yeah, and we've seen with Discovery here, they've closed the Dunedin Bureau, so there's less direct TV3 coverage, if you like, out of the South Island. Some suggestion that it might be that they'll end up picking up material from the Otago Daily Times down there, won't be as strong a quality. It's a tricky argument, that, really, because you've got a failing company. You're essentially saying, well, it needs to survive. What kind of limits can you put on it, or handcuffs can you place on Discovery and buying MediaWorks and therefore TV3? To my mind, that would have been...
It's happened before with the likes of KiwiShare built into Telecom back in the day. But, you know, it is possibly a missed opportunity, or it's possibly just, oh my God, we're so relieved someone wants to buy this, we'll just make it happen, which isn't actually great policy making.
No, it isn't potentially. But then, you know, from the government's perspective, the one thing they can control, if you like, is TVNZ and RNZ. That's what they do have an ability to change and direct to provide that news coverage. And therefore, the private sector, whether it's a Stuff or a New Zealand Herald or any of the smaller ones coming through, it's up to them to create a business that works for them and survives and therefore provides that journalism. You've got that fundamental tension, haven't you, of how much should government direct private businesses?
I mean, these guys aren't poor.
No, they're not poor. No, that's true. But what...
It comes back to an old argument of what kind of asset something is. And, you know, when you came back to the telecoms back in the day, it was a fundamental asset. It was a public good, no question about it. Now, do we still make that argument about news, journalism, current affairs in whatever format? And if it is an essential public good, then how do you represent that with the private side of the market? Now, they're doing it by throwing money at private companies, and they'll say that won't be enough money. They'll turn around a year or two and say it won't be enough money, because it won't. But you can think a bit outside the square and write it into some of the obligations.
You can do that. It's also that fundamental tension, is it, between the broadcasting world and the newsprint world, where they never had that kind of control over the print media companies like the New Zealand Herald and the Stuff to tell them what they should or shouldn't do. And yet governments always felt they had that right when it came to broadcasting.
It's legacy again, isn't it?
Yep. It is legacy and arguably old-style thinking, whereas essentially what we're seeing here is that the world's telling us it's all around streaming.
Now, speaking of which, just quietly, there's been some initial murmurings out of government about looking to regulate Facebook. Has it got beyond that?
Well, it appears to be, and nice work by Mark Dulder again on Newsroom to tease this out. So the government has announced a review of the regulatory framework for content. What he's been able to do in terms of going back to the Internal Affairs Minister is saying, will this apply to the likes of Facebook? And essentially she's saying, yes, that is our intent. We've got a whole range of different, I think it's around half a dozen different frameworks or different systems or regulatory functions for this to regulate the media or content in New Zealand. That's a bit of a mess. It's classic old style thinking, 80s and 90s. So she's ordered a review of it, and that would indeed look at the likes of Facebook. What can you publish? What are your responsibilities when you're coming into New Zealand? Where does New Zealand law around this come into it? And there's a whole range of strands. It comes into the Christchurch call, obviously, out of the terror attacks. So it's a welcome progress. That's quite a long way to go to rewrite all those regulations, but it's good to see that that's being considered in a coherent context.
I still get confused as to the scope of what governments can do with a global company that operates cross borders and can just ignore you, frankly.
Yeah, well, that's right. You could take the extreme end of a Chinese government that stops you coming in entirely.
True.
Just blocks you. Or do you find different levers around it? It'll be interesting to see where they go with this. I mean, the big thing, big question mark here, which we've talked about before, is what is the financial contribution of these big guys to local media or local community? So we'll see whether that comes into it as well.
Very good. So, I mean, you can't help but going back, just thinking again about Discovery, and we're watching it evolve now, you can't help but going back to 12 months ago where the end was nigh for all these companies.
Absolutely.
You've got to give it to some of these executives, to be honest.
Yeah, you know,
completely uncharted waters.
Yeah, and let's face it, right? The whole point about the Discovery merger, and now gives them CNN. What is the opportunity for a global news service? And let's face it, some quite remarkable things come out of New Zealand, and it's quite a dynamic country in the way it deals with certain issues. So, to me, that suggests that they will want to have a media presence in this country. It's not worth having it across the ditch and trying to cover it out of Sydney. You need to have people on the ground.
They might want to look a little bit at the history of the news that's come out of the South Island in the last 25 years and rethink some of that.
Yeah, there's a very interesting piece on the ABC today about the Alpine fault, which is worth having a read.
Thanks for that. Thanks, Andrew. Goes wider than natural disasters, trust me. Thanks very much, Andrew Holden, media commentator.